Good evening. If you would open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to begin there. Really simple lesson, yet the magnitude of it is, the depth is something else, and we'll never be able to dig all of that up, but it has a great bearing for those who are trying to grow spiritually. I titled the lesson, Teaching, Helpful or Destructive? And where I want to begin is I want to encourage those of us who teach and preach from time to time, you need to be careful that the teaching, the things that you speak, promote spiritual growth. Not fleshly growth. And that's why you see me, I'm very careful. I like to joke around. Those of you who know me well, and I enjoy being funny at times and things like that. But you never see me do that in classroom settings or the pulpit. There's enough fleshliness as it is within the body of Christ. I'm not trying to put us down. That's just what we're dealing with. And you have to be so careful that you don't call attention to certain things, that you don't promote fleshliness. But there's another side of this thing. You can teach lessons, good lessons, and how you receive it and how you apply it can be helpful or it can be destructive. It depends on you, the hearer, whether or not you make application fleshly or you react in a fleshly manner to it or you react in a spiritual manner and allow things to take you deeper into the things of God. You know, sometimes when you teach, and those of us who teach and preach, sometimes you have to say things. I don't like to, but you have to for the sake of you. And they're not things that you just make up. They're things that come from the Word of God that confronts us with God because we need to be confronted with God and His will, as we were talking about this morning. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul penned for us through the Holy Spirit, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Paul is referring back to the time where he began the work at Corinth. Paul came to Corinth in about 52 A.D. He was on his second missionary journey, Acts 18 tells us. And when he came through and he began to preach the gospel, he ended up and there were people converted to Jesus, and he spent the next year and a half teaching these brethren. A year and a half from one of the most spiritual-minded men that you could want. And in his spiritual-mindedness, he recognized where people come from. And he recognized that when he came, he said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual men, but as men to flesh, as to infants in Christ. When people, we come first into Jesus, we're not spiritually minded right off the bat. I mean, you just don't arrive and whew, your flesh is gone. No, that flesh was part of you. It's part of who you are, and it has to be defeated. And so what happened was, Paul recognized that I've got to give you what you need because you're fleshly, because you're infants. And so he said there at the first part of verse 2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. They couldn't have deeper things. They needed this very light things for their spiritual digestive system. You know, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, talking to the brethren there, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You come into this salvation. It's a magnificent part of Jesus. But you don't know much. The only thing you know is how much Jesus loves you and how much He's forgiven you in your life. That's all you know. But the old fleshly nature is still there and still working. And so Paul, he's writing, I gave you this milk. I need you to grow in respect to your salvation. But now, in the second part of verse 2, he's going to speak about their present. Paul writes this book in 57 A.D. 5 years later, after Paul spent a year and a half with the church at Corinth, after they got so much depth and good teaching from the apostle, and look at where they are. He says at the middle of verse 2, indeed, even now, you're not yet able. Able for what? Solid food. Why? Verse 3, for you are still fleshly. 5 years have gone by, and the teaching, has it been helpful or has it been destructive? It hadn't taken them very far, and it's because of the hearers. They don't want to hear it. It's their fleshliness that's creating all of these problems. You are still fleshly. And how would you know they are fleshly? Well, he said, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? You know what the ways of God are to do? To take us from being natural? Mere men. Is that what you're like? And so many times in the church, we teach and we preach things that are like mere men. Well, that's just human nature. That's who we are. But I don't want you to be like human nature. That's what the Lord doesn't want. Human nature is destructive. That's why He's trying to put within us the nature of Christ Jesus. Even Paul told the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 4 that with whom I'm in labor again for you, that Christ can be formed in you. That's why we have a new self that's been created in the likeness of God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's the nature He's trying to get there. But we retain this fleshliness. And this fleshliness keeps us walking like mere men. You know what? You know why it appeals to us, a lot of nice stories, a lot of moving stories? It appeals to our nature. That's who we are. You know, when you start teaching lessons about servanthood, when you start teaching lessons about not looking to be the great, people aren't interested in that. But boy, you tell a moving story. I've learned from the years gone by in my preaching, in my teaching, when you come up with a good illustration and you make a point and people come up afterwards and they remember the illustration, they have no clue what you preached about, but boy, they remember the illustration. I mean, it starts sending a message to me. Then I'm going to cut back on my illustrations and watch what I do. But there's a reason for that. Because I don't want us to be like mere men. Paul didn't want them. There's jealousy among them. Strife. I mean, there's this contentiousness between people. Do you know those are signs of fleshliness? When people are upset at one another, is that not mere men? It shouldn't be there in the church. The teaching can be destructive. Teaching can be helpful. But it all depends on you and me as a hearer. How do I apply it? What do I do with it? Fleshliness in the church destroys spiritual gain. Always. It's so hard to overcome things when people are walking like mere men in the church and they're being fleshly about it. Let me give you a few illustrations. Come over to chapter 5 while we're here. And I'll show you how fleshliness destroys spiritual gain. at verse 1. He said, it's actually reported that there is an immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind that does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant, and you've not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. It's been reported to Paul. Now, how fleshly is this? What if we got immorality going on right here? And what if people just don't think anything of it? Oh, it'll be okay. We live in an immoral society. We're just bombarded with immorality. And Paul looks at the church at Corinth, and he said, you don't even see this kind of immorality among the Gentiles, the outsiders. You don't even see this in the world. That someone has his father's wife? And the church has become so arrogant, the church has become so callous that they haven't mourned, that the church has become so callous that when people are being immoral, you need to get rid of them. They need to be dismissed from the assembly of the Lord's church. Yes. See, fleshliness destroys things. And Paul is absolutely shocked that the people would let this go on. Well, look down at verse 6. He said, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Hey, we need to deal with ungodliness. And it needs to go. But fleshliness, if people are being fleshly, it destroys. It's not being helpful. And Paul spent this time with these guys, with this congregation. He began it. And here, 5 years later, they got this stuff going on in them. Look real quick at chapter 6, verse 1. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you dare? You got a lawsuit. And you know, you have a lawsuit with a brother or sister in Christ, and you're going to turn to the world and have the world, a judge of the world, make an assessment and not let the saints make the assessment? Oh, we don't think about that one. Look down at verse 4. So if you have law courts dealing with matters in this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? See, there's a fleshly, that's fleshly people. Well, I'm afraid a lot of times, I was in a situation where this happened, where there was a case between some brethren, and the elders were going to have to step in and make a decision. And one side said, no, you're not going to give a decision. We're going to law of the land. We're going to get this thing done lawfully. Oh, really? No. What you were wanting is that the group that wanted to go, or the people that wanted to go to the court of law, to the unrighteous, they knew what the assessment the elders were going to make, because the elders were going to make a righteous assessment. And they knew they would lose. And their fleshliness took over. Yeah. They went on. Paul said, I say this to your shame. Don't we have anybody here that's wise enough, that's godly enough, to make an assessment? Fleshliness is destructive. It can be helpful to be spiritual. But fleshliness destroys. And so you and I can see that. Come over to chapter 15 real quick. Look at verse 12. Here's one more illustration of what's going on within the church. Chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How does some among you say, if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead? Who preached Jesus raised from the dead? Well, all the apostles did. Paul started the congregation. The church is founded upon the resurrection of Christ. How in the world do members of the body of Christ, hearing spiritual teaching, come up with such destructive heresy ideas that Christ hasn't been raised from the dead? Who in the world in the church come up with that? Well, somebody's reading something or hearing something else, and it's not coming from God. That's fleshliness. And it destroys people. And Paul said, here we are, we preached him. He's been raised from the dead. And of course, you read on down, and the conclusion he comes to, if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, you're still in your sins, folks. You want to buy that assessment? See, teaching can be helpful. And if it's not applied right, it can be destructive. And you can go all off on different ways, different ideas. Well, knowing that, how can I be helpful as a minister of the Word of God? How can Carrie be helpful? What's my part in all of this? Well, one thing is I got to make sure that what I teach and what I say doesn't come from me and not about me and not about flesh. It must come from God. Come over, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's how I can help. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, he says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine which you have been following. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, the young preacher, that you point these things out to the brethren. If you'll point these things, and I'm going to show you what these things are, you're going to be a good servant of Jesus. You're going to be nourished on the words of the faith and sound doctrine that you've been following. What things are a preacher supposed to be pointing out? What are some of the things? Look back at verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says, in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. We'll stop right there. You know what the Spirit of God said? It's coming in the church. It's coming. That there's going to be members of the body of Christ fall away from the faith. Why? Because they're going to pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. You know why you got to be careful in dabbling and finding out what everybody else believes and teaches? Because of that verse right there. That verse right there tells us we don't have any business paying attention to doctrines of demons and you know, these deceitful spirits and trying to figure out what everybody believes and teaches. I'm talking about as something that we just indulge ourselves in to study. We need to study the Word. You know why you have these different doctrines out there? You know why people pay attention to it? You know what's behind it? It's behind hypocrisy of liars. People who promote different doctrines. People who promote different spiritual spirits. You know what? They're liars. They've been seared in their conscience. They've had to sear out the Word of God in order to follow another path in another way. You have to ignore it. Illustration. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to be quiet. 1 Timothy 2, he's talking about the assembly. In the assembly, guess what I don't allow, the apostle said. Well, you got to get with the times. Today, you can have women preachers. You got to sear your conscience with a hot branding iron to come up with that conclusion. You got to lie about it. You got to take these verses and just wad them up and throw them out of your Bible. See how it happens? Teaching can be helpful or destructive. And there's things that a preacher has to be able to point out. And you got to point out that there's going to be people in the church fall away from the faith because they're going to pay attention to this kind of stuff. And he said, you know, here's what else they promote, verse 3. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Men who forbid marriage. Men who forbid, you know, men who say you have to abstain from certain foods. You know what? You got to be fleshly to kick those out. It's okay to eat anything on any day of the week if you know the truth. And he says in verse 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. See, point these things out to the brethren. That's what you've got to do. How you receive it depends on whether or not it's helpful or destructive. Come back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to end right here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 3. He says, as I urge you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Can you imagine Paul telling Timothy the preacher? Timothy was a shy fellow, apparently, according to 2 Timothy 1. But Paul tells him, you remain on at Ephesus, and you need to instruct certain men. Apparently Timothy knew who they were. Apparently Paul knew who they were. And apparently there were those that were they were teaching strange doctrines. And then you have to tell the church, stop paying attention to these myths. Myths are things that have no foundation. Someone comes up with an idea and everybody runs with it. There is nothing founded from a myth. And these endless genealogies, you know, that was something big for the Jew, where they could prove where they came from and their family tree. And you know, they're endless, he said. You don't need that. You know what these kind of things do? You know what strange doctrines do and these myths and these endless genealogies do? He said, which give rise to mere speculations. Speculations. They make people start questioning and bringing up controversial things. I've told you this. Boy, you want to talk about fleshly. I'm going to use it again because it's a good time for it. I'll never forget one of the first places I preached, sitting in a Bible class. I asked if anybody got a question. One lady's raised her hand, and she's known for it. I learned later. She raises her hand. She says, I got a question. See if you can answer it from Scripture. I said, all right. She said, do you think Adam and Eve had a belly button? Well, they weren't born. You think they had a belly button? What does that have to do with faith? Does that promote fleshliness? I mean, there's no answer to that. And what purpose does it serve? And we've got people, you know, that they're asking questions like this that serve no purpose at all. And here, Timothy, you got to straighten this nonsense out. You got to tell people. You got to tell certain men not to be teaching these strange doctrines. You got to quit teaching things that make people speculate, that give rise to all of these what-if questions and, you know, what if that and what if this and controversial matters. I stay away from controversy. I do it intentionally. I got a lot of questions about some things, but I'll sure never teach them or ask you. You know, we have enough trouble as it is. And so the teaching, it needs to be helpful. But boy, when you go starting things like that, it can be destructive. Well, how are you going to work in God's realm? How are you going to further God's interests? How are we going to grow past, like the Corinthians? You're still fleshly years later. How are we going to get there? Look at verse 4 again of 1 Timothy 1. Nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. How do you further God's administration? By faith. How do you create faith? By the Word. The Word of God. Using it and dealing with it accurately. Being honest with it. That's how you further God's interests. And so if we're going to go farther, it means that we've got to be interested in the teachings of God. We've got to be interested in developing faith. And when we're confronted with things, you know, I don't like what I see in me sometimes. I'll just tell you. I don't like some things that I think at times. I don't like some things that I say at times. But when you're confronted by God and He says, I need you to change, and here's my word behind that change, give up your fleshliness. Don't you know that if you got jealousy, don't you know that if you've got the strife stuff going on? Don't you know if you've got these dissensions and outbursts of anger, Galatians 5? Don't you know what you're promoting there? Don't you know when you get at each other's throat? Don't you know what you're doing? The teaching is destructive. It's received in destruction because it's not being dealt with going forward. And so you and I, we need to realize God's trying to say, I'm trying to build faith. Trust me. We need to knock this out of you. We need to bring this in you. We need you to let go of this thinking, and we need you to start molding this thinking. That's furthering the administration of God by faith. And so I encourage every single one of us, we need to be growing away from who we are naturally and being molded into the image of God spiritually. That's helpful teaching. And that's what we try to promote. And that's what I want to encourage you in. I don't have all the answers. I don't ever claim to. But I sure try to go, and this is where they come from. This is what helps us see the image of Jesus so we can continue to look at His glory to change us into the image from faith to faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I encourage you to that tonight. Let's be spiritual minded.